I speak to you in the name of God, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. My youngest son, Thomas, and I were bumping along in my Toyota Camry as we drove up the forest road to get to the trailhead to Happy Valley. Logging roads, as you know, aren't the best roads around. The potholes tend to have surprising depth, and the rocks sneak up on you like icebergs floating in the dirt. You really have to endure the terrain's relentless surprises if you want to get to the summit. Fortunately, for those who have the courage and don't mind beating up their car, there is even such a road to travel to get up on the mountain. Depending upon your perspective, it may also seem unfortunate for the forest that someone took an axe to the trees to make this road possible to travel on. John the Baptist suddenly appears on the scene in Matthew's gospel as a surprising feature in the wilderness of Israel's landscape. There hasn't been a prophet in Israel for hundreds of years. Here he is wearing wilderness clothing, a bit torn up from cutting back the bramble and perhaps even cutting down a tree or two to get out there. In clearing a road, he hears the Spirit whisper that he should tell everyone to do the same, to clear the road. Inelegantly dressed, standing beside the potholes and stones, he shouts out, "Come and clear the road with me to make way for the kingdom of heaven, to make way for the Lord of the kingdom of heaven." People hiked out to the wilderness to hear him say this message. They came down the road he cleared to stand in awe of what God was saying through him to them. Like elephants gathering at a water hole in the desert, they came to drink up his life-giving words. Some found his words soothing and were ready to do what he told them to do, to go and cut back the bramble and look for God's kingdom to arrive in the wilderness of their lives. John said, "Someone is coming who is more powerful than me. This someone is coming to do more than I can do with my little axe. This someone who is coming carries an axe made by the Holy Spirit and smelted by holy fire. Marvelous, amazing, glorious. The one who they imagine coming is the one the prophet Isaiah spoke of long ago. The one whom the Spirit of the Lord rests upon. Full of wisdom, understanding, counsel, and might, come to give justice to the poor, make fair decisions for the exploited, whose breath will destroy the wicked. The one who is to come comes to the wilderness of earth from heaven to usher in the eschatological renewal longed for by the people of earth, since violence and destruction of life-giving ways became the norm among nations. The thought that this one who is to come will bring an axe as a symbol of judgment makes us recoil a bit. John says, "Now the axe of God's judgment is poised, ready to sever the roots of the trees that are rotten and unproductive." We are on a theological logging road that is bumpy and treacherous, but one we must travel if we want to see and feel God's intentions. The prophets and saints of our Holy Scriptures have used the image of the axe cutting down trees, both to speak of the deforestation of the people of Israel by foreign powers, and to speak of the people of Israel being deforested by God for her waywardness. Either way, the meaning has been clear. God's intentions are for her people to faithfully keep her ways. Those who choose not to do so will be cut back, so that everyone can see God's life in the difficult, overgrown forest of life. Isaiah's message in chapter 11, 1 through 5, depicts a scene that is a common theological theme in the Hebrew Scriptures. The vineyard of the Lord, Abraham and Sarah's clan, or Israel and Judea, are all overgrown with briars and thorns. The stump of Jesse refers to the reduced kingdom of Jerusalem and those portions of Judah left after the Assyrian assault of 701 BCE. The prophets convey that God has judged the people for not bearing good fruit by letting the Assyrians rule over them. And yet, when the time is right, God will appear like a new shoot, providing the prophetic leadership that will once again remind them of her intentions for the earth and all who live on it. In this deforested place, people overgrown with blackberry bushes, is an old growth stump with a small new tree growing out of it. It is growing there, and it will appear soon, and it will be found. It is a difficult job to have to deal with kings and rulers who don't see it as their task to clear the road and make way for God's holy presence in this life, or to deal with those who believe their name and position in the clan ensures they are keeping the road clear, when in fact they have let the English ivy grow and cover all the fruit trees. King Ahaz and King Hezekiah in Isaiah's day let things go wild. King Herod and some of the religious establishment of those days of John the Baptist seem to have had no time for clearing roads in the wilderness either. John couldn't refrain from warning and inviting the people of Jerusalem and all Judea that it is now time to return to the right ways of thinking. Creator's good road from above is close. It is time to start walking on it. Prove by the way you live that you have repented of your sins and turned to God. Don't just say to each other, "We're safe, for we are descendants of Abraham." That means nothing. God can create children from Abraham from these very stones. God will not have her holy name dragged through the mud along with all the sins of her people by not taking an axe to the roots of any tree that is useless at best and harmful at worst. She cares too much to let violence and corruption continue to disrupt the growth of peace and well-being for all. God cares too much for us to not make a way for us in the wilderness to find the rest and serenity we need. Thomas and I parked the car, if you could call it that, on the side of the logging road and clambered out of the car. We needed a moment to stop the quaking in our bones and the rattling in our heads before entering the woods. Step by step, we made our way on the trail, and as we did, we took in the wonders of the mountain forest north of Whistler. Nothing prepared us for what we experienced when we came upon a grove of cedars, the grove we had read about in the trail guide. We couldn't speak or move as the sacredness of the four old growth cedars took us in their arms and hushed us into a serenity we never felt before. Someone made sure to preserve that grove, made sure that the ancient cedars were not logged. Someone wanted us to find it and to enter into that holy place. We were grateful beyond measure that someone prepared the way for us to get to that place. It meant that trees were cut down to this end, but this is where the parallel to God being a logger in John's gospel shows up, or John's message, Matthew's gospel. The surprising truth, appearing like potholes and rocks on the logging road, is that God is utterly determined to cut down what stands in the way of people finding him and experience his sacred serenity in this life. This is good news, isn't it? "Clear the road," John said, "and Christ will come, and you will know God has entered the heart of the old growth forest of life on earth. Clear the road for others to find this God." The spiritual road clearing we are called to do is not as simple as letting Christ into your hearts. Our work, our industry, our way of walking with God is meant to be for the world to meet and know the Prince of Peace. God has come to us in Christ Jesus, inviting us to be industrious about one thing: clearing roads throughout the world for people to walk upon together, to find rest and serenity in this life and in the next. The one who came after John, Jesus, is the God of peace, the Prince of Peace, is peace. In the words of scholar Sonderegger, his is not the spirit of capitalism. "We creatures go forth to our labor until the evening. We till the fields of thorns and thistles. We bear our children in pain. We search and strive and find no rest. This is the poverty of the children of Eve. The poor of this earth know what it is to work without ceasing. Only they are denied any useless hour. Only they know the cruelty of life that is only labor, seeking more work, more odd jobs, more miles from wearied bones, from broken down cars and long delayed city buses. Only the poor must endure the cold fact that their children's school play or schoolwork or illness must go on without them, for they must work, work only, and seek work. On hardscrabble farms, in small shops and hidden factories, in polluted and defiled places where none but the poor will work, these are the hellish place on our earth where rest is never known. But the living God is rest. Holy rest. He it is who is life, who lives and in his personal will welcomes into being his creatures. Peace is the very life of God. This is the meaning laid down in the divine event that is the Lord's fiery life. This is the meaning of the one who is coming, who is more powerful than John, who is filled with that holy fire from heaven. The road Christ comes to travel on leads to peace and serenity. This road must be cleared and walked upon for the world to know God's peaceful presence. Let's go, clear the way, and not stand in the way. Our Prince of Peace has come and will come. Amen.